And now, Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Red Energy. Moving house? Call your local energy retailer. Red Energy.
7 minutes past six, hello and welcome to Sports Day. Jimmy Bartel back from Sydney, and he's live in the studio. Plenty to talk to him about, particularly the goings-on at GWS. But as you heard off the top, Essendon and the incident involving Luke Parker and Dylan Shield continuing to dominate the headlines.
Lloydie's got every right to say that, no doubt. Everyone has their own opinion, that's fine. But what does he want Dylan to plough through someone, give away a free kick, give away a 50-metre penalty and another goal?
When I say plough through, you can still hit hard without, I don't know where a free kick, a 50 and a goal comes from. They already lost by 12 goals anyway. So it's interesting, it's pretty defensive there, yeah. Dyson.
But what's going on with Luke Parker? I thought that was the most arrogant, unswans-like, nasty behaviour that will come back and bite him. I really didn't like that at all.
Plenty of people want to have their say, but there's no mucking around tonight. There's only one man who cuts through to the core of an issue with ease, and he co-hosts Sports Day every Tuesday.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthew's in it. Talk about a he-man.
Welcome, Lee.
Hey, evening, Sam. Evening, Jimmy, how are you?
We're both going pretty well. Hello, Jim.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Really good. You've mated me early in the show.
Yeah, you got to mate you. probably in a bit better mood than Dylan Shield and the rest of the Bombers, so I'm up and about.
So, Lee, do you want to go back to the incident itself or the aftermath and the response? What have your thoughts been?
Well, let's talk about the incident, but it's more about the principle. And let's go to a little bit of audio that when Kevin Sheedy first addressed the Giants players before the very first game, the microphone happened to be in the room. Let's have a listen to Sheedy's attitude to all this.
Don't and ever let any club or player dominate you at a ball, at a stoppage, in the air or on the ground.
Could have been John Kennedy. It could have been any of my coaches. But I know that was about 10 years ago. Don't tell me it's changed now. The physical contact sport that we play is a contest, a physical, mental, emotional one. Bullying's a dirty word in the world now. But on a footy field, you are trying to bully the opposition. And as Sheed says, you can never be intimidated. And if you allow yourself to be intimidated or dominated, even verbally or emotionally, you are going backwards big time. My view on it is that, see, but the TV cameras capture everything. So we're talking about it because the TV cameras saw what Luke Parker did. But if a player did that to any player that I coached, including myself if I was playing, you'd at least go and grab him and wrestle him and, like, just kind of fight back. Not like you've been embarrassed by the words and by the actions, or more the actions. I don't know exactly what the words. So you've got to fight back straight away. Not go and punch him. Just create the altercation. Say that, hey, I'm not going to take this. And when you actually then spread that over the whole team, I don't think it's a whole team issue, to be honest. I think it's just a Dylan Shield issue at that time. But it is a lesson to everyone, every player in the footy world, let alone the Essendon players, do not ever allow yourself to be bullied or intimidated or dominated. And Kevin Sheedy said it so well a decade ago, and that holds just as equally today.
What would Jimmy, the Geelong boys of your day, had done if that had happened?
Well, it's a discussion. So firstly, I spent 9 years under Bomber Thompson and Chris Scott, and they had similar philosophies. They voiced it in different ways, but you know, the underlying theme was exactly the same. It's whether you want to be liked or respected. And if you're being liked, you just go about it and you're happy and your smiles and things like that. It doesn't mean you don't you can't play with a smile on your face, but there's a bit of respect. And Dylan Shield and Essendon were disrespected. And you've got to actually, you know, put your chest out and act as Lee was talking about, you've got to show what you stand for and things like that. You don't ever allow anyone to walk all over you in anything. And that's what he did with that. And you can stand, you don't beat yourself. And that's a form of beating yourself. And then I remember in my early days, Bomber Thompson showing edits of Matt Scarlett and things like making younger sides know your presence, because you can actually set the tone for not only for that game, but for the next year, for the next few years.
So, and that's not about being dirty.
No, nothing to do with being dirty. Yep. And Matthew Lloyd touched on that. It's not about giving away a 50 or anything like that. It's being physical in the contest. And not everyone's going to be the hardest guy, but when it's your turn, you put your head over the footy and you front up to the next one, and you front up to the next one. And you just keep, you know, fighting away. Not going to use the word fight. You keep just sort of whacking away at the contest and the man, and you let him know that you're there. You're not going to back away. You come up close to Luke Parker in the next stoppage. You push him away and you go, I'm not going to tolerate that from him. Because what ends up happening is there's a lasting effect. So I know when GWS and Gold Coast, you know, the two more recent clubs come into it, the two coaches I had, you let them know at every contest. You feel your body weight on them. You take the tackle to the ground. It's a hard physical body spoil. Nothing dirty.
Just to let them remember.
Because next time you play them, they're going to be a bit older and a bit better, but you want to, you know, try and create some mental scars.
Yeah, it's interesting, Lee, that you brought that audio up, because that was pre-round one 2012. So GWS playing their first game against Sydney, and Dylan Shear was actually playing that day, so he would have been in the rooms. Mm.
Well, he would. I mean, but it's just a baseline attitude to competing. That's what I'm saying. And I don't think it's a team versus team thing. This is if you get sledged by another individual player, as he's individual, you know, like it's a one-on-one here. And you either laugh it off, and you might even laugh it off if you're confident in yourself in a way, or you say, no, I'm not going to take that. So you at least wrestle him. You go and actually do something to actually make sure, you know, I'm just not going to take this and just laugh it off and do nothing.
Lee, what about the reaction after it? So there's the incident itself, and then in the press conference, Ben Rutten gets asked specifically about it. And I thought that was an opportunity, you know, from a club perspective, for the coach to go into bat for Dylan. And he didn't. He talked about Dylan being one of the senior players that was failing to live up to the standards. I'm so fascinated as to what he would have been thinking then. Would Ben have been angry in the action from Dylan? Would he have been... And just thinking about the loss, you know, would he have wanted to defend him but didn't want to defend the indefensible?
Well, what I'm saying is that while the TV cameras captured, it doesn't mean that, say, the coach's box is totally aware of what happened and what vision. Because nothing happened. If it wasn't for the TV cameras, no one would have known anything, would they, except the players. And as we know, Jimmy, there's verbal byplay going on all the time. And sometimes it gets into what you'd call the denigrating sledging. Sometimes it's just a different things, different times. And coaches off the field aren't seeing that. They're not necessarily hearing it. So it is for the players on the field. And I think it is. I would say for the other Essendon players, I don't think they necessarily know what's going on either, which is why I say, hey, it's every man for himself, bottom line. And what you're saying to all your players is, do not let yourself be intimidated. It's not like we can go and have a team response here, except no doubt, like, you know, every player at every club that has listened to this conversation over this last couple of days, let alone the Essendon players, should be, and I'm sure odd coach would have actually brought it up with their players to say, listen, if this happens to us, we've got to show some fight, not go and do something stupid or punch and all that stuff, but you've got to show your fight. You're not prepared to accept it. You're not prepared, as she said, to use the word dominated, but whether it's dominated, intimidated, bullied, whatever, you just can't allow yourself to be that. And that's like every player in the competition has to be able to put their hand up in their turn if they receive it, to make sure I'm not going to take it easily.
So what would you do with Dylan Shield this week if you were Ben Rutten?
Well, I, to be honest, you sort of don't know what's going through Dylan Shield's head. So we only see it from the outside. We see the vision. We didn't hear the words.
Yep.
We don't really know all the context, right? So first of all, like I read somewhere that they'd played junior footy together. Like, in other words, that Luke Parker and Dylan Shield may have, you know, might have sort of grown up playing footy against each other or something. Like, these are things you don't know, which is why if you're sort of Ben Rutten or anyone at Essendon, you want to get to the bottom of exactly what happened. What did he say? How did you take it? I mean, get to the bottom of it, but first of all, assess exactly what the facts are, not just what the vision seems to portray.
I'd also think that there'd be a bit of play with his own confidence. He's been in and out of the side. He's been spoken about for a number of weeks of being part of these senior players who aren't up to scratch. So when someone has a go, he's probably thinking, geez, I can't really fire back with much at the moment.
He's in his shell.
He's in his shell already. Yep. So I reckon that was a bit of a factor in him not biting back or showing the physical response.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just wonder where it leaves the footy club, Lee, because I always come back to your statement from years ago that it's never as good as it seems, never as bad as it seems. Right here, right now, from an external perspective, it seems like Essendon, that it's really bad. It seems like they're in a hole. But the reality is probably not that.
Well, no, I think they are in a hole. The question is, how deep is the hole, and can you fight your way out of it? But the point of, you know, how that, but okay, we say that Luke Parker intimidated, bullied, verbalised Dylan Shield, right? And I think it's up to Dylan Shields to show some fight at the time. It's not a 5 minute later thing or a 10 minute later thing. It's reacting at the time that I'm fighting back. I'm just kind of not accepting this. And my view that, okay, you go and barrel Luke Parker next time in the contest. Well, no, that's a bit periphery to me. It's how you do it at the moment, right? Mm. But you kind of think, one of the things about Essendon, when you look at their midfield, they all seem small. Like, their big midfielder is Jake Stringer when he's available. He's not playing at the moment, right? But all their midfield group, well, they play small. I mean, they're not big men. So sometimes, you know, you got to have what they say about the size of the fight and the dog and all that stuff. But they're not a tough looking midfield. They're never going to be looking like Luke Parker is like that. I mean, he's a big, strong, powerful midfielder. Has been for a long period of time. Josh Kennedy is up there. I mean, I'm just talking about their individual players. I think unfortunately Essendon don't have a midfielder who I would say is got a bit of bulk and size about him. You know, they got Parrish and they got Merritt and they got Shield, just to name sort of three that come to mind. But they're not big, powerful men. So but sometimes that means you've got to be really powerful emotionally and verbally, because physically it's very hard to be powerful when you haven't got the size.
Before we go to a break, and Jimmy will talk about the week that's happened at GWS, I want one for both of you, is that I reckon the people outside of the footy industry, like me, when something like this happens, the thing that gets thrown around at the water cooler conversation, Lee, is that I expect a big response this week. You know, the Bombers have been there, expect a big response. That first 5 minutes against Richmond, it'll be on. Is that genuine? Does that happen?
Or should be.
It should be.
I think when you're on the receiving end of something that is a bit like symbolic, isn't it? It's as much a principle of the thing. One of our players got bullied. Therefore, okay, we got bullied. We've just got to really show some fight this week. I mean, you'd think that would happen. But as Jimmy, sometimes, it, as you mentioned, the confidence, if your confidence is a bit depleted, then it's very hard to, you know, get out of that out of that dispirited sort of manner. So, but gee, you would think so. You would think any team that feels like they've been the butt of what's happened with Essendon through Dylan Shield these last couple of days, and having such a bad day on the field, that you'd think there'd want to be some fighting spirit coming to the fore, you'd think, next week.
Well, you think that the coaching should be so simplistic this week. You've had 30 tackles for the game. They're just running, I want 30 this quarter. The first quarter, and that's it. You've got it's just complete mindset that, geez, we're only getting judged on if we come in at quarter time and we have a tackle. Like, it means you've got to go hunting for it, which gives that mindset.
Mm. Lee Matthews is here for McDonald's. My Macca's Rewards has arrived. Earn rewards with every Macca's run. More with Lee Matthews and Jimmy Bartel right after this on Sports Day.
Lee Matthews is here for Macca's. My Macca's Rewards has arrived. Earn rewards with every Macca's run.
Lee Matthews is here. Plenty to talk more with him. But Jimmy, I want to talk to you, if I can.
Sure.
Put a little microscope on you. And okay, feel free to jump in on this at any stage, Lee. Yeah. Big week at GWS.
Yep.
How does it feel now that the Leon Cameron reign is over?
Oh, look, I think we, as a club and as a coach, handled it as well as it could have been done. I think it's what he deserved, a classy send-off for a classy individual who has always put the club, and he's had a massive impact on the footy club. I know everyone can be a coach, but he was a coach of a startup for 9 years. Mm. And his values are well and truly entrenched in the footy club. I think the whole week was done in the manner it should have been done for someone like Leon Cameron.
Will you be part of the selection panel?
Yep.
Okay. And do you have a timeline on when you would like to have a new coach by?
We'll probably start putting some stuff together later this week or early next week, because we felt, out of respect for Leon, and which is the right thing to do, that you start having those discussions after he's had the send-off that he deserves.
So
we spoke about a little bit, Jimmy, on the weekend. Which word more applies, like rebuild, reset, or rejuvenate? Which one do you think maybe... They're all slightly different, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't think it's a rebuild, because we've got a lot of talent in the list, and we've had a couple of good drafts as well. So, not rebuild. Refresh? Did you say refresh? Or to make another re-up?
Yeah, refresh. any of those re's.
I think it's more that, Lee. And I think when we put our heads together of what we're looking for in a coach, it's also looking at what we need in the football department as a whole. We know, I heard you talk about this, that... where you go with your coach also can set what you're able to do and what you want to do in the football department, obviously with the soft cap and the spend. And you've got to see what are the priorities that we need. The Giants, all clubs will be doing this, but obviously for us now that we're trying to fill the coach, that you've got to spread that money across on to help obviously take care of all the needs, or as many of the needs that you've got as possible. And some senior coaches can do a lot of one thing or a couple of things, and other senior coaches, you can put them in, and you need to fill other areas as well with that spend.
So you've said this a couple of times now, and I know Lee was mentioning on the weekend, we played it on Classified last night. Am I reading between the lines correctly here that you're not going to spend a large amount of your soft cap on one coach?
No, we haven't made that decision yet.
Okay.
So I'm not saying we just haven't got to the bottom of, we've got to sit down and have a discussion anyway. Mm.
Just an observation, Jimmy. Yep. Gently, like I just noticed the crowd there's some low crowds around the competition, but Giants playing Carlton. Carlton normally a pretty big drawing club, and about 8,500 people sort of bothered to turn up in a way. I mean, and okay, it's Leon Cameron's last game. We always think that getting the coach who gets the team playing the best is important. But sometimes, and maybe Sheege was the example of this when he first came in, a decade ago, you sometimes need a big name, do you, just to sort of publicise the club as well?
Yeah, but I also think on-field plays a big part. When, 2016, 2019, but then you run into COVID as well and things like that. You didn't capture as much of the momentum off the back of a couple of those final series as well. And the Giants going so. Timing is a big issue, especially for, Lee, yourself, the Northern States, because you're competing against league and just different mindset of footy followers. So there's a number of factors. It was a disappointing crowd. I'm not going to shy away from that.
But is that the crowd didn't seem to get the imagination sort of increased by the fact that there was a big day for the Giants, or particularly, last game for Leon Cameron, that didn't seem to reflect the interest of your supporter base to get along and show their support.
Yeah, it was a bit of that, but I think we've seen across the board, and you touched on it. I think whatever you think the crowd is, like games at the MCG where we've gone, there should be 70,000. We've seen there's about 55. I think that's happened across the board.
Yeah, I don't think it's an unfair argument to say that crowds would drop off more in Western Sydney when the Giants aren't going as well, as
absolutely
a footy heartland that's dealt with it for 100 years.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, Lee, I know you talked a little bit about it on AW on the weekend, but all things considered, like, what you were mentioning there with Jimmy and brand recognition in a name, soft cap and what that's brought into the competition, and also, the Giants in general, that they're still best six players are all highly paid and really good players. Do you have a gut feel as the type of coach that they need?
Oh, no, but I mean, all the things that are just kind of we're talking about here is what is Jimmy and the Giants decision makers will be weighing up. I mean, what cost is the coach going to be in salary?
Yeah.
And different, as we know, the coaches that come in that haven't coached before maybe are in the 500,000 range. The premiership winning coaches might be in the $1 million range. So, Jimmy, and we spoke about this on Saturday, I mean, already we're starting to weigh that up. How do you get the best football operation? Which is partly I wondered, Jimmy, are you kind of thinking, okay, there's going to be a change of senior coach, but is there other parts of the club at this point of time you're having a footy department mainly, a real good look at?
Yeah, I think we're going across the lot. I know this is no different from other clubs, but you guys are addressing the Giants because they've got a vacancy as well. But look, it's really important for us for development, because we've always got young talent coming in, and you want to maximise that as well. So, you know, we hit the draft with the three draft picks that we got for Jeremy Cameron. So you want to maximise that talent. So I think development is super important for us because we're getting guys, well, still majority of our guys are from interstate. That's just what's happened, you know, for you know, the New South Wales and Queensland team. So you want to fast-track development as quick as possible. In those states as well to be competitive. So it'll be development we'll be looking at. You'll be looking at our list going forward. Whatever new coach comes in or other coaches comes around that, they might have different theories on where our list's at.
And last one, there were some reports Dean Solomon was going to come back and help Mark McVay in the interim. Is there any truth to that?
Yep, he'll give him a hand. He's volunteered some time because of their long-time teammates at the Bombers. So he'll be rolling up the sleeves and giving a hand.
So he's coming in to be what?
Help out. I guess it's like a pseudo assistant coach to help him out or give him some thoughts and ideas and help around.
Right. So, and that's
a question, Jimmy, just on the big name thing. In the sort of, I guess, not so much the footy world, but the general sort of population of Western Sydney, your supporter base, would Alistair Clarkson or James Hurd be, who'd be the biggest name?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure who they'd identify with the most. I think your football followers would know both, so that's. But I don't know about the passive whether you know follower who they'd know more of, Alistair Clarkson or James Hurd. It's a good question. I don't have an answer for that.
Question that you don't have an answer for. They're the best sort of questions.
Well, who do you think, Sam? Because you probably see it from a different lens than us. So who would capture that the passive follower of sport more?
The Sydney one, but the Sydney follower we're talking.
Sydney
aren't we?
Follower. Yeah, that's the harder part of the question.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. Right.
Well, he's got his bait.
More Lee Matthews coming up shortly.
A sports update thanks to Tyre Power. Their buying power puts the power in your lane.
He's very important to our play to our footy club, both on the field and off the field. And what he gives us, he's paid us in spades. Whatever Dustin's decision is moving forward is up to Dustin. And to be honest, he has my blessing.
Welcome back to Sports Day. That's the voice of Damien Hardwick talking about Dustin Martin and Jimmy and Lee, I'll leave the footy analysis to you two experts, but from a media context, Damien Hardwick has become the absolute master. He has, in one foul swoop there, Lee, diffused the situation, supported his player, and it's just a masterstroke, I think.
Diffused the situation?
Yep. I think he's diffused it completely by saying, if he leaves, he leaves.
I reckon it's a first. A coach has said, if one of my players leaves, yeah, I'll support him. I mean, I think, I know, I find it's a very strange thing to say, to be honest,
okay.
Because it might be just, I don't know, it just seems, I don't know whether I'd be buying into saying, yeah, I'd support him no matter what. So we, you know, yeah, we support him enough, I still support him if he leaves and he'd go with my blessing. That's a very unusual comment.
Does it just not speak to the closeness of the relationship those two have built, Lee? Or
well, maybe yes, maybe that. Maybe that, but if anything, I would have thought it opened the door up to the thought that Dusty may look to go elsewhere at some point in his career.
Well, I was listening to you guys interview Peggy O'Neill on the weekend, and that's the distinct thought that I got was that he is every chance of leaving. I still think there's this whole, cloud's too dark a word for it, but there's a whole thought around Dusty, Lee, because of everything that's happened, that maybe his career will finished somewhere else.
Well, only he seems to have some, he seems to like spending time in Sydney. So therefore it's more that point, isn't it? So like Buddy eventually got out of Melbourne and went to Sydney. We assume that's, well, his girlfriend was up there. I guess that makes a big difference, obviously, to Buddy's life. But I just thought, Dimmer, I mean, it's how you handle these things, I guess there's no right or wrong, but I thought it opened up a little bit the thought that, oh, well, if he decides to go in a year or two, we'll go with my blessing.
Jimmy?
Yeah, but I think he's almost saying that it's going to be a tough task in the next 2 years to move him out of Richmond from a pure football point of view.
Because he's contracted.
He's contracted and he's got an enormous contract. And if he's going to Sydney, there's only two clubs there. And how are they going to fit him in the salary cap? And then they've got to be compensated coming back the other way. There's a lot of things that would have to happen.
Yep, that's true.
That's probably why there's so much confidence.
Lips of Lethal is next on Sports Day.
Now on Sports Day, from the lips of Lethal, always keep your head in the zone. Visit makingourfarmsafer.org.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We might start with the news on the back page of the Herald Sun this morning. James Sicily signing a huge deal, Lee, to stay at Hawthorn.
Well, yeah, good for Hawthorn that he stayed. A very good player. So, yeah, I mean, a five-year contract, so he should finish his career at Hawthorn. But I did want to bring up, actually, because we were at, Jimmy and I both for AW, we did the Hawthorn-Richmond game. And at the end of the game, and I had my job to do the votes, and I'm trying to find the most valuable players. That's the way I try and do it, right? Mm. And Sicily played on Tom Lynch. And Sicily got a lot of the ball, had 23 kicks, although a lot of them were probably when he played on after the behinds, because he does the kick-in duties. And he defended Lynch fairly well, but Lynch got four goals, 16 disposals, you know, six marks. And I cancelled them out. I said, oh, well, in that matchup, I didn't think either of them won the matchup, so I didn't give them a vote. But the coaches' award is always my go-to, to see how did the coaches look at it. And Toby Dankervis got the 10 votes. I gave him best on ground also. But they gave Lynch 6 and Sicily 3. Now, Jimmy, you at the game as well. How did you read that contest, just by the way? Because I find it fascinating how, you know, that Lynch can kick four goals, but Sicily still gets votes.
Yeah, it was almost the old school matchup, wasn't it? Where we've seen a number of times in the past where both ruckmen are in the best. It sort of had that feel to it, that both of them, if they're sitting back, they'd be reasonably happy with the way each of them went. I think Lynch kicking goals maybe, I think, tilted it in his favour. Because, you know, we put a high premium on goals, but Sicily was probably in their best five players, but not in the best five players on the ground, if that makes sense.
Because he was doing almost all their kicking duties, wasn't he?
Yep.
And Richmond kicked, how many go behind? They kicked 15 behind, so he's probably had 15 kicks from the behinds, and so he's only had another 8. So surely the coaches know that. Anyway, it was interesting. I go to the footy, the games that I watched, Jimmy, and that was really interesting. How to rate those two? Because that fullback, full forward type position, that is a one on one contest, and you, as you say, ruck sort of one on one, but they don't follow each other around the field. That's not the way rucks play.
Well, yeah. I do the same with rucks. You can look down sometimes, and one will have 35, 40 hit-outs, and you have 6 or 7 of them in the advantage, but then his direct opponent will kick 2 goals.
Mm.
And you'll go, well, hang on, they've just literally cancelled each other out here.
Speaking of the rucks, Lee, the model surrounding the two big ruckmen and the evolution of that, what have you made of it?
It is interesting. I remember almost 20 years ago now when the Lions were winning some premierships, we used to play two big ruckmen, and one of them would virtually play on the bench. So, in other words, it was just all, not quite 50-50, but say a 60-40 on the ground, off the ground, not so much playing in the forward line. And it is really interesting. I mean, we know Richmond won their premierships back in 17 with Nankervis in the ruck, and Grieg almost jumped around as just a very small second ruckman. But it seems like, I mean, the Ryder-Marshall combination, the team's right up the top of the ladder. The top 8 and the Melbourne. I mean, Gorn and Jackson, a really good combination of two big ruckman types, both. And I'm talking about how they do the ruck, particularly the centre bounce ruck work, because that is becoming more and more critical, because centre square clearances, if you can set up clearances, then, you know, you set up field position. So Gorn and Jackson, I mean, Brisbane have now got McInerney. They got Darcy Ford up from Geelong, and at least he's a mature sort of big ruckman who can compete. Ryder Marshall may be the best of them all, I guess. Now, but even Richmond are playing Nankervis and Solo. And while, you know, they'll get into the forward line a little bit, mostly they're almost playing ruckman off the bench. Sydney got Hickey and Laddams. But it is kind of, in the evolution of it all, the one thing that is an issue, Geelong haven't got that. Geelong have got Stanley and Blitzarves mostly, and on certain days, their athleticism and mobility will be really, really valuable, but they're always going to be fairly moderate in their ability to play centre-bounce ruck work against the real, real big duos. So I think it's an interesting sort of watch in what the best teams are putting out there right now.
I think with all the ones that you touched on, Lee, Darcy Ford, although young, can show he can hold his own as being the second or third forward. We see with Jackson, majority of his time in his first 40 games was as a forward.
Yep.
And now Max Gorn's, you know, they're sort of sharing that. But they're hitting the scoreboard. And we saw that on the weekend. Soldo and Nankervis kicked 3 between them. And that's the problem with Geelong. Stanley and Blitzarves, at different stages, don't hit the scoreboard, because blitz halves they use to roll back. Stanley is not a big goal kicker. So it's only effective if they actually assume the role as a forward, not being a ruck sitting forward. They've actually got to play as a forward.
Yep.
And of course, the other one is Carlton. I mean, well, Cripps was even actually doing a bit of ruck work. DeConny is, I mean, with Pitnett out injured, it's sort of Carlton a little bit make do, aren't they, in the ruck position. So, I just think that having a really big, a big, powerful ruckman in there all the time by playing two in the 22, I think's working well currently.
And Lee, lastly, everyone seems to want to have their say about Jordan Dugowie. It's getting towards contract time. He's been down on form. When you watch him, what do you see?
Well, I watched that game. We did that game on Friday night. And he, you think of Jordan Dugowie. Jordan Dugowie doesn't go and get the ball 35 times. I mean, they're playing against the Bulldogs and McRae and Smith and they get a lot of the ball. And Treloar was in that category. But Jordan Dugowie virtually played centre square most of the night. And Collingwood had two goals at halftime and four goals at three quarter time. And if ever they needed another goal scoring option, and I think to myself, if you're going to play Jordan Dugowie virtual midfield like 80 or 90% of the time, I just don't think that's him. I mean, his average over his career has pretty much been, 20 odd disposals and a goal. I mean, when he kicks like two or three goals and gets 20 disposals, that's when he's a weapon. So I was watching the game and you were waiting for them to actually somehow get him into the forward half because they were so short of goal kickers, Collingwood, on Friday night. But they persevered with you in the middle. And I just think if you're talking about Jordan Dugowie as a midfielder, he's not in the best 50 in the game. It's the midfield forward goal kicker, that's where we can elevate himself.
We'll wrap up Sports Day with Lee Matthews and Jimmy Bartel right after this.
It's now time for a Blue Bet update. Blue Bet's AFL 12-point halftime early payout is available on all games this weekend. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Having a little bit of problem with Richard. We might have to speak to him tomorrow. Let's talk to Dylan Scheel. Not talk to Dylan Scheel, but Dylan Scheel got spoken to Lee and Jimmy on the way into training today. Let's take a listen.
I mean, at the time, it didn't seem like a big deal and I moved on pretty quickly. I'm probably just more disappointed with the outcome of the game. And, we're going to look forward to this weekend and, trying to get a win for the club.
Yeah, I mean, from all reports, Jimmy, he's been in a pretty tough spot the last couple of days, and let's hope he's had some good people around him, because no matter what has happened and who's fouled, and I know we spoke about it with Lee off the top of the show, he's still flesh and bones at the end of the day.
Yep, and hopefully they give him the opportunity to make amends. So, you just want to see guys have that opportunity to bounce back. Could be the making of him.
Yep.
It is interesting, that point, because I think quite realistically, he didn't think much was in it at the time. No. So I'm saying when you have the TV coverage and you examine the vision with a fine-tooth comb, sometimes whatever happened was no big deal to him at the time, quite possibly. And that's quite realistic.
Yeah, because, as I said, he'd be shot on confidence. He'd be going back to the centre bounce going, he'd be thinking, geez, I've got to keep my spot on this side. Because he's been through that the last month. You just think, how do I get the next kick, handball?
Is he in their best side right now?
I don't know. I don't know what is their best side at the moment.
Lee, do you have a view on that? I mean, because it is an interesting point that you raised earlier about the size of a lot of them. Now, they can't
help the combination
of
them.
That's right. They can't help their size. But when they've got no Stringer and they've got no Langford and they're looking for a bit of that physicality, I'm so fascinated as to what they try to do.
Well, that's always the question each week. Sometimes things are going bad, so can we play 15 aside this week? Because we've only got 15. We've got a lot of confidence here, but you've got to play 22. So the point always is on that question you raised, Sam, is who else have they got? Like, if it wasn't Dylan Scheel, who would they bring into the team?
I don't have as big a problem with their size, because you can't change that. That's your list you're built with. So the game plan needs to fit the smaller fleet of foot. They should be closer to one of the leading tackling teams, because they should be applying immense pressure. And that's my issue, Sam.
Yep.
So if you're not big, you've got to play with a greater intensity and greater speed.
Lee, always a great pleasure to have you on chat next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, mate.
The greats, Jimmy Bartel and Lee Matthews. Speaking of greats, Richard Humiston. Richard, taking us out. No. okay, Richard hasn't. I've said goodbye to you, and Richard wasn't there. Sometimes it just happens in live radio. Jimmy, this is all part of it.
He's having an RDO.
Yeah, I think he might be. I think he might be. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day on this Tuesday evening. We'll be back with Bruce Eva and myself tomorrow. See you then.